Well, if you take your Bibles and turn, of course, to 1 Corinthians in chapter 11, you know, this is not the only place in the Bible that talks about the Lord's Supper. But it is a good opportunity because it's the Apostle Paul writing to a church, and by far not a perfect church, but one that had some issues and some things that needed to be addressed as they were going forward for Christ. And so we're going to just talk a little bit about one particular subject and make sure that we have the proper focus as we go into a time like the Lord's Supper as a memorial unto the Lord and really showing truly how we feel about our relationship with Christ. And we really need to take time, and you know, there's times to celebrate and rejoice and cut up and have fun, and there's times to be serious, and there's times to really focus in and hone in on what things are very important for that moment. So if you'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God, we're going to begin in verse 26. And this is kind of after the words, reiterating what the Lord said and what was given to the Apostle Paul. But he says, and you just follow along as I read aloud, in verse 26 of chapter 11, he says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily." Do you notice that word there? Unworthily. That's very important. It says, "shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come." For all intents and purposes, then, the title of the message tonight just simply would be unworthily. Unworthily. That verse, that word was said twice here in this passage of Scripture. And it simply mentions that he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he gives warning that it should be a worthiness that we enter into this time of the Lord's Supper. You say, well, what are the parameters then? What makes something worthy or unworthy? Well, that's exactly what we want to talk about. You see, many times in churches, and we mentioned this in the past, many times in churches, a church kind of like our church, or some churches like our types of churches, choose to participate in what they consider a closed communion. That means only those that are members of that particular local church are allowed to participate in the Lord's Supper. And you say, well, what is the point of that? Why did they do that? Well, they want to make sure that people are worthy of participating in the Lord's Supper. And I'm not against that particularly. I think it's good that we should be worthy and counted worthy of participating in the Lord's Supper. You say, well, what does it mean that just members can be a part? Well, one of the parts of membership is that you have to have a public profession of your faith. Okay, you have to publicly profess Christ. And in order to be a member of one of our types of churches, not only do you have to publicly profess Christ, but you have to have the proper baptism to go along with it. And you say, what is that? Well, that's just a public profession of what's been already taken place in your heart through salvation. And you're baptized under the right method, okay, down into the water, up out of the water, but also by the proper authority. Okay? You know, not just anybody should be going around baptizing people. You know, oh, here's a swimming pool, let me baptize you. And oh, here's a pond, let me baptize you, and this and that. It needs to be done under the authority of the local church. Jesus Christ gave his authority to
to the local church. He didn't just give it to everybody that just come by. Oh, here, you can have it, you can have it, you can have it. He commissioned it to the local church. So therefore, it's important for that to be overseen. So that's what would make someone, if you will, worthy to participate in the Lord's Supper. And so that's one element of it that's very important. Another element is that of being right with God. We need to make sure that we are in a proper mode. If you think about it, and if you look here, it says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. You understand that he goes on and talks about being judged and chastened of the Lord and all those things. That's living a right Christian life. Could you imagine trying to remember someone and then doing something that offended them at the same time? Does that work? No. Or if you say, well, I want to honor someone, but I hate their guts. What? That doesn't make sense. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And if we're going to enter into a time where we're remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, yet we're boldly living in sin, we're willingly and arrogantly touting this thing around that we ought not to tout around. Two different words. We're carrying around with us. That's what I wanted to say. Let me choose a different word. I'm not a master of the Southern language yet. I'm still working on it. You tote things down here. That's a Southern thing. But you don't carry around these willing pet sins and say, I'm going to honor the Lord. How does that work? It doesn't work. So we need to make sure that we're doing these things worthily, not unworthily. And so that brings me to kind of just help. And every time that we come around to this time, I want to make sure that everyone understands. And so there's another form that some churches take, and they call it close communion. And that's the type that we choose to participate in here. And what that simply means is that we as a church will allow those that are born again, that are right with God, and that are a part of the right kind of church, they have the proper authority to participate in the Lord's Supper. That's important. Okay? Are those worthy requirements being met? If that's the case, yes, they are. And that's what's important. It is kind of ambiguous in Scripture. It doesn't say necessarily that each local church can only participate in the Lord's Supper with their own church. It doesn't come out and say that. But it does say that we should be responsible about this thing, because it's been given to the church to oversee. And it needs to be done worthily, not unworthily. And so then the third type that's out there in Christendom, if you will, is that of open communion, and I'm against that, because that is unworthy. You don't know who's participating in the communion time, if they're saved or unsaved, if they're the right part of the right kind of church or not part of the right kind of church, if they are living the right kind of life or not living. It's just, oh, everybody come and let's celebrate the death of Christ. I'm against that, because there are no boundaries to that at all. So we're talking about specifically this topic of unworthily participating in the Lord's Supper. So first of all, the first idea we want to look at of this thing of unworthily is taking and participating in the Lord's Supper, not being saved. This is not just some religious tradition. This is not something that gets you bonus points to try to get into heaven. This is not something that is done if you don't know what it's about. You see, someone who has not experienced Christ's payment for their sin, how can you hold a memorial for it? You can't. Because it's not something that you've experienced. So the first individuals that are those that should not participate in the Lord's Supper are those who are unsaved. You're not born again. You do not know for sure if you die today, you go to heaven. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Remember when Jesus was meeting with Nicodemus, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We need to make sure that we are born again in order to participate in this thing of the Lord's Supper. That's a very critical element. It was told to the church that there were some that suffered because they unworthily participated in the Lord's Supper. It's a serious time. And guess what? It's your choice. It's your choice. And so if you're under the sound of my voice as the preacher and teacher of the Word of God here in this place, I'm telling you that if you're not saved, you should not participate in the Lord's Supper. You should get saved and then participate in the Lord's Supper. Amen? Because that's how it ought to be. Salvation is one of those worthy type requirements for the Lord's Supper and its participation. In John chapter, 1 John chapter 5 says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God." You understand that we must know that if we die today, we go to heaven. We must have this thing of salvation settled. And if you're in the sound of my voice tonight and you have a doubt about your eternity, you need to get that settled tonight. It's important to know for sure about heaven. In John chapter 3, I already told you about Nicodemus and Jesus' encounter there. In Acts chapter 8, we remember the Ethiopian eunuch and Philip running to him and asking him, "Understandest what thou readest?" I love these words. He said, "How can I except some man should guide me?" And Jesus, and he, you know what Philip did? He preached unto him Jesus. As we participate in the Lord's Supper, how can you know what's going on and what you're participating in if you've never experienced and encountered Jesus Christ? How can you celebrate the shed blood of Christ and the broken body of Christ for the remission of your sins if you've never had remission of your sins? We know that almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, it's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, to now appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once offered, was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that looked for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Salvation is an important part to being worthy of taking and participating in the Lord's Supper. The second part that we need to consider is not being spirit controlled. Not being spirit controlled. You know, one of the things that we fail at as Christians is trying to take the reins of our life for ourselves. And we don't let the Spirit have reign and rule over our lives. We do not let God be our pilot. We want Him to be our co-pilot instead, right? You've heard me say that before. You understand that these Corinthians were being taught by the Apostle Paul. He said, hey, there's a problem here. You're eating and drinking unworthily. And there's a reason that many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Folks, they were not tired. They were dying. There were actually some deaths because of this irreverence that was taking place. Because they were not examining themselves. And they were, if you will, kind of throwing their nose at what Jesus did on the cross for them. They were just kind of making it a mockery, if you will. Saying, well, I'm going to live my life how I want to, and I'm going to remember what the Lord did for me at the same time. That just doesn't sound right, does it? I mean, when you sit there and bow your head and you're kind of thinking about what Jesus did and how His blood was spilt for us and how it was shed and it is pouring out and the physical beating that His body took for our redemption. How can we just say, well, I'm just going to continue to live how I want to. I'm going to keep this pet sin in my life, and I know it's wrong, but I'm going to do it anyways. Then how can we participate? How can we participate? We need to be spirit controlled. Time fails me to read to you all of Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. But how about a few highlights? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? That's a wonderful question. That's a wonderful question. How shall we? He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Recognize those words? That's what's said when we are baptized. Buried in the likeness of His death, raised to walk in newness of life. There's a new life in Christ to live. And we need to be controlled by the Spirit. The Spirit that indwells the believer needs to be the one calling the shots. Not us. Not the carnal man. Not the natural man. Not the flesh. But the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 10, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. How that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did eat the same spiritual meat and did drink the same spiritual drink. And for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, and as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall. We need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look at our motivation, our motive, and our purpose. We need to make sure that we are, as it says in 1 John, that we're cleansed from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want us to live our lives condemned with our head hung low and moping about saying, oh, I can never do anything right. No, He wants us to be like the righteous man that falleth seven times and riseth up again. He wants us to be like the prodigal and come to our senses and say, oh, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm going to go back to my father. That's what he wants us to do. He doesn't want to drive us away. He wants us to draw us to himself. So we need to make sure that we're not participating in the Lord's Supper if we're not spirit controlled. That's one of the things that is unworthy. Unworthy. And then the last one I wanted to mention is that of participating in the Lord's Supper unworthily is not being a part of the right kind of church. Not being a part of the right kind of church. You know, it's important to be a part of the right kind of church. It is. You say, are there wrong kinds of churches? Yes. We'll go back to my old thing that I say, things that are different are not the same. They're not. There is a right and wrong. Guess who set that up? Not the Baptists. God did. God did. Remember this in Acts chapter 2? Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God, and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. And as we read through the book of Acts and as we have studied in our Sunday school lessons, we see how those truths were passed on from church to church to church to church, to city to city to city to city. These things. You say, how do you know, Pastor, that this church here is the right kind of church that falls in line with those things? Well, because we take them right from here. Not from the traditions of men, not from our opinions, not from the things that we think, but from what this book says. It's the foundation for all matters of faith and practice. And that's what's important. You know what? Not so much the name on the sign, but it just so happens that name Baptist does stand for the things that are true. And if a church that carries the name Baptist doesn't hold to those things, they should not be Baptist. And just because it's a Baptist church, and just because it says it's an independent Baptist church, doesn't mean they're necessarily holding to these things. You need to make sure. You see, it's important. And that's why. And this authority that God has given, when God says that all power is given unto him, it was. And he passed that along to his church. Not to the fake churches. Not to the frauds out there. But to his church. So we need to make sure that we're part of the right church. We need to make sure that these things are truly the body of Christ. As it says in Romans chapter 12. As it says in Ephesians chapter 4. We need to make sure that it is the body of Christ, that it is the church of the living God, that it is the bright and proper type of church. Because that's important. And that's the kind of churches we need to be a part of. So we need to make sure that as we participate in the Lord's Supper tonight, we need to make sure that we're worthy. That's why at this particular time, we're going to bow our heads. We're going to have a time of invitation. And nowhere in Scripture does it say you have to come to an old-fashioned altar at the front of the church. You can pray where you are. It kind of does help a little bit, if you will. It gives some significance and some purpose. But we're going to have a time of invitation and a time where you can come. And you can examine yourself. You can make sure that you're saved. You can make sure that you're spirit-controlled. You can make sure that you're part of the right kind of church. Those things are important. As far as participating in the Lord's Supper worthily.